Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720 WGN. Matt Bubala filling in today and tomorrow. Thanks very much for being with us, hanging out with us this morning. Hopefully you're having a good ride in or a nice morning at home over a cup of coffee and enjoying some days off as we head into the new year. A lot of us, as always, start talking about what we're going to do better in 2016. One of those things inevitably seems to be try to get in shape, try to do better eating and health-wise. Joining us in studio right now is Todd Neef from South Loop Strength and Conditioning. Thanks for coming in, Todd. How are you?
I'm all right. Happy to be here.
How many people will you see next week that you haven't seen before that you will see for 3 weeks and then never see again?
You know what? Honestly, in our business, it's not quite as bad as in other gym businesses.
Okay.
Since what we do is kind of challenging, mm-hmm. it's kind of expensive, it's kind of hard. So we sort of filter people up front a little bit by saying, listen, this is challenging. You have to commit for, you know, a year to actually get anything out of this. It's hard. It's not, you know, lock you into a contract and never come back.
Right.
We want people to come. So, you know, we don't see as many of those folks who sort of come for 3 to 6 weeks and disappear since we filter them up front a little bit.
Okay. So you need to do it for about a year, you say, to really see the results. Is that in general with any of us, we shouldn't go on a 3-month diet, try to lose 20 pounds and stuff, because then we just get back to the same routine?
You know, it depends on the person, because for some people that sort of, you know, quick fix type of thing actually is a jump start into a longer lifestyle based piece. Mm-hmm. For other people, it sort of ends up being an all or nothing thing, right? It's okay, cool, I'm going to do this cleanse for a month. As soon as this finish line comes, it's back to pizza and beer and sitting on the couch.
Now, what is the biggest problem of that sentence? Is it the pizza? Is it the beer? Or is it the sitting on the couch?
You know, that's kind of challenging, and it probably depends specifically on the person. But I would say that sitting on the couch is probably the worst relative to my bias, because if you are exercising, you tend to do other stuff well.
Interesting.
Right? If you're eating well, it goes well with exercising, it goes well with sleeping better, it goes well with managing stress. So I think the exercise for a lot of people becomes the catalyst to actually fixing all those other pieces.
So if you start getting the exercise in, you'll start maybe making some better choices. If you're laying on the couch, you're going to have something bad to eat, things like that. It snowballs a little bit.
Exactly.
So when we start working out, so say take blank slate. All right, it's new year. And maybe I'm coming to your place. Maybe I'm just deciding, all right, I got to be better next year. How big of a step should you take for your first step? I mean, if you're coming to a place like you, you're really going to tackle it. You're going to work out and stuff like that. If somebody's taking a smaller step, is it just start out small? Get out walking every day. Do something to get yourself moving?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the most important thing is finding something that's sustainable. So depending on the person and what their lifestyle is currently, if you try to take too big of a step at once, it sort of ends up being more than you can handle. And you sort of say, oh man, I missed my workout today. I wanted to work out 5 times a week. I only worked out 2 times this week. Man, I really feel bad about myself.
Let's just get a double cheeseburger on the way home. Let's just, come on. We're missing today. Let's go.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's a lot of us do that, though, don't we? I mean, that's how I feel sometimes when I'm on it. Well, I'm having this is a cheat day, and then you go to town. A cheat day should not mean eating in the entire day, right?
It depends on the person. So for some people, you know, it's psychologically beneficial for them to say, you know what, this Saturday, I'm completely off the reservation. I do whatever I want. And then I'm going to go back to my more regimented diet throughout the week. For other people, the cheat day, like you said, sort of becomes an excuse to break the diet. And then it becomes, you know, a slippery slope to keep going down that road and say, you know what, I already did this, so why not do this?
Yeah.
And then I feel bad about myself because I didn't live up to what I wanted to do. And now I'm sad and I don't feel like I'm succeeding, and I'm just going to, you know, go off and do what I was doing before.
So you guys do CrossFit at South Loop Strength and Conditioning. What is CrossFit exactly?
Yeah, the technical definition is constantly varied functional movement at high intensity,
okay.
Which is sort of unsatisfying. That doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people.
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's a little bit technical, a little bit fancy. But realistically, it's a strength and conditioning program. So it's going to be a combination of strength training and conditioning training. So, you know, cardio, high-intensity intervals, stuff like that. We sort of take a bunch of different modalities. So being weightlifting movements like snatch and clean and jerk, deadlift, squat, that type of stuff, gymnastic stuff and bodyweight calisthenics. And we sort of mix and match these different pieces to put together different strength training concepts, different conditioning concepts. And there's a little bit of variation to kind of keep it interesting and fun.
Well, I would imagine that's a big part of it, too, is not only that you maybe don't want to just do cardio, you want to do other things, but also you want to keep it interesting and fun, because that's a lot of what we get into, right? Is I'm going to get on that treadmill every day, and then by day 5, I'm bored out of my skull on this treadmill. Let's just get off this thing, and then we start falling off the wagon, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The the variation, there is value in that in terms of actual program design, in terms of keeping the stimulus novel, but also a lot of the variation, like you said, it keeps it engaging for the more psychological and social aspect, where it's like, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do today. Oh, this is kind of like the thing I did before, but a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because even though, yeah, there may be continuous progression for a lot of people in just, you know, squatting two times a week and jogging on a treadmill, it's tough to stay engaged for a lot of folks in terms of this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah, I would imagine. Todd Neef is with South Loop Strength and Conditioning. SouthLoopSC.com is the website where you can find more information. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about working out. And you know, when he talks about weight training as well, I'm wondering, does it make a difference if you don't just do cardio, if you also work in the weights? Is it important to have a well-rounded workout if you're going to get the most out of it? We can take your questions as well. 312-981-7200. Are you determined to kick off the year in a new and better way? Do you have a question for Todd? 312-981-7200. Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720 WGN. Tomorrow morning at 7:40 a.m., we're giving away Blackhawks tickets. Brian Noonan is filling in for Ro Khan this afternoon. He's got Hawk tickets as well this afternoon, so make sure you stay listening. Todd Neef from South Loop Strength and Conditioning is in studio with us, SouthLoopSC.com. We were talking just off air here, Todd, about going through the window. So often in our busy lives, we end up making a bad decision for a meal. But you can go to a window and still make a good choice. It's just the mental fortitude to actually make that good choice. So like at Wendy's, you said, yeah, you could go to Wendy's and get a good meal. What would you recommend if I got to stop at Wendy's on the way home? What should I order then?
Yeah, for sure. This is something that I do myself often, as there's a Wendy's near my apartment. And being a small business owner, my schedule is often completely screwed up. And my best laid plans of meal prep and healthy eating and all that stuff often go out the window. Like, you know what? I got booked for 8 sessions today and have 700 emails. And
yeah.
Got to go to Wendy's. So, you know, in that situation, there are often options you can choose that are going to be healthier. At Wendy's, for myself, I often get the baked potato with chili.
Baked potato with chili.
Yeah.
And every one of those places pretty much has a salad, and it just depends on what dressing you throw on, how much of it you use, things like that, right?
Exactly, yeah. And most of those places do have healthy options, you know, the baked potato, the salads, those types of things. And the other piece to it, too, honestly, though, is that a lot of issues come in when people make a bad decision and then start judging themselves for it.
Hmm.
So, you know what? Even if you do go to Wendy's and you don't order the baked potato with chili and you get, you know, the number 7, there's a lot more danger in saying, oh, man, I got the number 7. This is so terrible.
You sound like you know what the number 7 is. What is the number 7 on the Wendy's menu?
I couldn't tell you. Okay. I feel like once you get up that high, it starts to be like some weird chicken sandwich the combo thing. I don't know. You get past the burgers and just weird chicken options.
Too funny. 630 asks, can you suggest some quick, easy, grab-and-go type snacks and or meals? So we're mentioning, you know, at the drive-thru windows, you can make easy choices. If you need, and how important is it that we, if we're on a diet, if we're trying to be better, that we snack throughout the day instead of, you know, starving ourselves until noon and then eating a big lunch?
Yeah, so a lot of people will have success with almost that starve and gorge type of protocol, but they usually call it intermittent fasting. Other people do very well with continuous snacking throughout the day. So some of that is being self-aware about how do you personally feel when you either eat consistently or when you sort of restrict and then limit your feeding to a specific window. So some of that is just a self-awareness piece. But honestly, for most people, it's going to be more important to, again, not judge yourself for what you do and to not fall into an all-or-nothing mentality.
So you don't believe that there is, because, you know, there's a book out on starving yourself and then gorging, and there's caveman diets and paleo, and there's a million different things. Is that all just kind of BS, and it's kind of what works for you, would you say?
I don't know if I'd go that far as to say it's BS, because a lot of them do have mechanisms that make sense. You know, there's a lot of, you know, physiological explanations for stuff. But realistically, most of those things have a few things in common. One is that it requires you to pay attention to what you're eating. Right. So a lot of people don't actually have a lot of self-awareness about what type of food they're eating. So if you say to someone, hey, I need you to cut out fat, or I need you to cut out carbs, or I need you to only eat plants, or I need you to only eat basically meat and fat, if you make someone do that, they have to actually pay attention,
yeah.
which is going to be a huge win for anyone. Right? Another piece to that as well is that most of these different diet protocols, they have at least some emphasis on food quality. Right? So a lot of the foods that we sort of eat that we consider to be junk food, the danger isn't necessarily in that specific piece of food, like eating, you know, a candy bar or, you know, a hamburger or whatever. It's not like you eat one of those and it's like, oh no, my whole life is destroyed.
Right.
It comes down to more the way those foods work is they sort of disrupt the way that we regulate our hunger in a macro sense, right? So if you look at obesity research, you can completely dysregulate how, you know, lab animals control their hunger and what type of food they eat by basically feed them the lab animal equivalent of junk food. So if you eat that consistently, your body's own mechanisms for regulating itself just get disrupted. So if we are aware of what we eat, and almost every single one of those diets, no matter what it's called, at least has some emphasis on quality, then you can allow your body to regulate itself more accurately, sort of the way that we're quote-unquote designed to do.
By the way, Todd, we've done some research, and the number 7 at Wendy's is the spicy chicken sandwich, which doesn't sound terrible.
Yeah.
What about if I order that sandwich but I don't get the fries? I mean, it's still probably a 500, 600 calorie sandwich, but as long as I'm not doing the fries, is that like, yeah, that's not that bad?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's probably a little bit better in the sense that, you know, the fries are probably a bit more inflammatory in terms of the oil they're cooked in. And again, it's one of those things where if you're eating these foods that are sort of designed to hack your brain into being unsatisfied with them and consistently wanting more and more and more, you know, the fries is like a perfect example of a food that is engineered to disrupt how much food you think you're eating. So
interesting, because you'll just keep shoveling those things in and not know to stop or not be able to regulate to stop. A texter asked, how much does our age matter and how hard we work out and different things like that? If you're dealing with a 20-year-old or a 40-year-old or a 60-year-old, how much do you change how hard you're working them?
Sure. I think a big piece to consider there is overall volume. So the day-to-day intensity is also important, but the overall volume I think is more important to consider for someone based upon their age. So obviously a 20-year-old can handle more reps per week per session than someone who's 60. So that's something to be cautious of. Just overuse injuries are easier to develop as you age. And, you know, it's harder to adapt to the actual training. So someone who's younger, who has better hormonal health, you can just throw volume on them and they just adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to be cautious of, is the overall volume. But in terms of the actual day-to-day intensity, that you definitely want to be aware of how often you're going intense as you age as well. So it's not necessarily like as you get older, you can't train intensely, but someone who's younger may be able to train intensely, you know, 3 to 5 times a week, whereas someone who's older may have to limit that to 1 to 2 times.
How big of a difference would it make if we just reduced our overall intake? Maybe we don't completely change how we eat, what we eat, but we start cutting our portions in half. Do we just eat way too much at a meal setting usually?
I think that for most people, what they end up doing is not necessarily just consistently eating too much, but sort of binging and restricting, which ends up actually being almost a more dangerous way to eat, right? So we'll go on a theoretical diet, excuse me, watch what we eat for, you know, 3 to 5 days, and then suddenly go off the rails and just eat excessive amounts for, you know, 3 to 5 days, and then feel bad, and they'll go back on a diet, and then go off the rails. So I think it's more dangerous to kind of cycle like that than it is to necessarily consistently eat a little bit too much. But I do actually think that, you know, portion sizes are too much, and the foods that we eat, like the french fries, the potato chips, the snacks in between meals that are sort of candy and all that stuff, definitely jack our calorie intake up way too much.
That on and off the wagon description you just made was my life for the last month, and I think a lot of ours over the holidays. It's very tough to stick with things, and then you go to parties, you have family over, whatever. Last thing, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Diet whatever. Yay, nay, it's killing you, it's the worst, it's throwing you off, or, well, it's a substitute and it gets you through the day.
Yeah, you know what? The actual research on those artificial sweeteners, there's really not a lot showing significant dangers, right? I mean, everyone sort of has this conception like, oh man, these are chemicals, these are terrible, we shouldn't be having this.
I worry more about the, it's making you crave other things.
Oh,
you may
sure.
think you're avoiding sugars there, but now you're craving other things, you're making bad choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise.
So there have been some things maybe showing that if you have, you know, sucralose, that sort of disrupts your capacity to understand how sweet the food is you're eating, and it makes you eat more stuff. in the actual studies where they look at someone who's drinking consistently these sort of artificially sweetened beverages, they lose weight. They don't tend to compensate in the same way that that some other studies show that they might.
Especially if they're drinking a lot of soda otherwise, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
It'd be better if you're just drinking water, I'm sure. But if you're drinking four sodas a day and you switch those to diet, yeah, you're going to lose weight probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the other piece that if there's anything, it's that the artificial sweeteners may disrupt the gut microbiome. So that's sort of a buzzword these days. You know, what gut bacteria do you have? Mm-hmm. Maybe like the sucralose and the acesulfame potassium, that stuff might screw that up a little bit. But again, the actual studies don't seem to show a lot of negative consequences from drinking that type of beverage.
Got to get yourself some Lifeway Kefir from Wendy Snyder and straighten that all out. South Loop Strength and Conditioning. You can go there and find out more information. They're at 645 South Clark. If you work down in the business district, you can get in there and work out with Todd whenever you need. SouthLoopSC.com. Todd Neef, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's
absolutely. And starting the new year out right, everybody. News is next.